first.
We're gonna go?
Yeah, I'm waiting for somebody to announce which one we're gonna do first.
I think
we're recording.
Given we just talked, I didn't know, you know, so many English filmmakers were so worthy and stuff. Stephen Frears is the best one, actually.
Say more about that. remind me what else he did. He did My Beautiful Laundrette?
Yeah,
and then there was another one or two.
Dangerous Liaisons.
Yeah. Right.
Grifters. Your ears.
One of my
favorite films. I didn't see The Grifter. I don't know.
Oh,
not his version.
Yeah.
The Grifter.
Great.
Yeah. Really?
Yeah.
You haven't seen it? No, I've seen it, but I'm surprised.
Didn't he also do
Pick Up Your Ears?
Yeah, I think he did.
Yeah.
I think he did.
What
was it?
Pick Up Your Ears.
I think
the most recent one. Right.
And you said he did Sammy and Rosie Get Like That?
Yeah.
Which I never saw.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah. But I think people like Ken Loach are so like worthy and left wing and they're just boring. And I think Stephen Frears is so, you know, just a better filmmaker. Yeah. But this, I mean, yeah, because the last few films, I don't know what's more recent, but not all of his films are like from this sort of left wing slant. This one is. You know, The Grifter is just fun and like hooky and.
Hooky, right.
Well, Jim Thompson's a great novelist, and like I said, Donald Westlake wrote a great screenplay. He had John Cusack and Angelica Houston and Annette Bening, so not a bad
combo. Yeah.
Well, I thought the cast in this movie was exceptional too. I really liked the prostitute, the Latin guy, the villain, and who's the other one I liked? Oh, the Asian pathologist.
Yeah.
I thought they were all excellent, including the two main characters, especially Oakley.
It is very interesting. I mean, who was there in the film? There wasn't a British character in the film.
The prostitute.
Yeah, well, she was the closest to it. Right, right. Yeah. But she's not who you normally think of as British, right?
Right.
So she was the closest to British.
Russian.
Yeah. It was Russian.
But that was one of the things, this view of London. You know, I lived there for 12 years, and there were no street views. You know, they had the front of the hotel, and then they had apartments. It was a very, like...
corridors.
Yeah. Like, you know, the view that these immigrants might have had because they were hiding.
Claustrophobic.
You know, yeah, because they were afraid. They were afraid to go to the doctor.
What a terrible position to be in. God. From immigration and having to put up with your boss's demands.
And even the immigration guys didn't strike me as typically British, but I guess they were. You know, they had to be because they were from the...
I don't know. They didn't strike me as very realistic. I don't know why, but I, you know...
They kind of look like Keystone Cops.
Yeah, they kind of struck me.
Yeah.
Keystone Thugs.
Yeah.
Kind of, you know.
So they were taking... kidneys, but why was it there was a heart that went down the toilet? Any particular reason?
The patient died, and they were just...
Why would they remove the heart?
Yeah. They were just trying to dispose of...
Parts.
So...
Seems like you could have cooked the heart.
There's a lot more to dispose of besides a heart.
Right. Sure.
I just thought that was kind of odd.
I mean, it could have been like fried green tomatoes, and they just could have butchered the whole body, you know.
Yeah.
I didn't know.
You didn't know that part about Fred?
No,
it's a great movie. It's a great movie.
There was a butchering of a body in fried food.
Oh, yeah.
You don't see it.
They cooked it.
The ribs.
The guy with the ribs.
Yeah.
I'm not thinking of the wife, the cook.
Anyway, sorry. That was a different film.
Or Soy and Green or some other references.
Other cannibalistic, right?
This was just the heart. What happened to legs and the...
Well, it seemed like it was the catalyst to get the story going. It's like, let's put a heart in the toilet. Then he's going to find it, and then he's going to think, oh, what's going on here?
Now what's happened is in the advertising, they sort of take advantage of it and says, you know, this movie's got a lot of heart.
I knew you were going to do that.
Well, we went out to dinner afterwards, and there was a couple at the next table, and they overheard us talking about the movie.
You were talking about it before you got here? Take your license away.
Oh, no.
And she mainly wanted to know if that was the woman from Amelie. But what was she saying? God, I lost my point. She asked about...
I can't
remember now.
The heart?
I'm sorry.
Lost it.
It'll come back.
Okay.
You know, before the scene the introduction of the harp, I was interested in the movie in itself, the relationship between the characters. You know, somewhat so when they threw in that harp thing and it took this kind of like black comedy kind of horror kind of turn. I didn't really like it. You know.
You didn't like it before that or after that?
After that, it's kind of like. It took me away from the characters and their interactions and got into this, you know, in this plot, what's going to happen next. Although it was definitely an interesting plot, and the ending did surprise me. You know, I should have seen it coming.
Well, I just remember what she said. She had seen the previews, and she didn't know it was going to be about this organ business. From the previews, she couldn't detect that.
What did she think it was going to be about?
I don't really know. I guess she saw the immigration problem that they were having there, and she thought, I guess, that it was going to be a thriller of some sort, but she had no idea about the organ removal thing that was going on.
Uh-huh.
So that kind of took her by surprise. And somebody at work saw the film, and he just went in cold turkey and didn't know anything about the film. So he was surprised that's what it was about, too.
I didn't know it was about an organ ring. I knew it was about an immigrant.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know if it made it. I don't know. Didn't know.
I guess I knew from reading something.
Yeah. I did too.
But it gave me I felt like a tension to that. I felt like.
Yeah.
You know? So all in all, did you like or dislike the
film? Oh, I liked it. I liked it a lot.
Mm-hmm.
But you stopped liking it when?
Well, I didn't stop liking it. It just took a kind of a weird turn for me, you know, and just a little bit too far-fetched. And maybe it was the hotel manager's character that was a little bit over the top that put me in that kind of viewing space.
Well, at first, you know? Did you all understand what was going on with the transfer of the keys? I mean, I didn't...
Yeah.
I didn't get it until he explained it to somebody.
Transfer the keys?
She sort of drops her keys.
She had rules, and the rule is he can't have her keys.
No, I didn't get it.
I really have to say I loved this movie. I think it's what I sort of termed it a moral thriller because it's really about, you know, our hero's quest to sort of do what he needs to do but stay within sort of his moral code, you know. Mm-hmm. And all these sort of temptations, and I think it is the appropriateness of the sort of the metaphor of organ harvesting and people sacrificing their bodies and souls to become citizens or escape whatever situation they're in, either to sort of advance economically. So there's that whole thing about for the money or whatever that they need to do, and it just really. And I also like, of course, it's sort of this sneaky love story, because it's not a love story, a romantic comedy that sort of advertises itself as a love story, but it is a love story, and I think that's great, too.
The money was more survival money. You know, this is the kind of money that was,
I thought it was, the money for the people who are selling the organs.
Yeah.
But also, in most cases, it seemed to be that false passport, that opportunity to...
Yeah.
And it seemed to be the main motivation to do it was to get that passport.
But they're interesting, those restrictions about the fact that they can't work legally, and then, it's all this stuff under the table and having to be, have these really horrible jobs, as they say, of, driving cabs or
cleaning your room.
Cleaning your room.
Or other stuff.
Yep.
Yeah, and then the prostitute was English.
Yeah.
Did you think it was sort of this idea of this ring where they're snatching kidneys, did you think it was believable?
There are such things.
Well, it's part of an urban legend.
The part about stealing them is an urban legend, but the part about paying people and people actually selling your organs apparently is not.
And even in the back in a hotel and not sterile conditions and stuff like that?
There was something else I saw recently, which was a television story or a television movie that had the same premise, where a poor person, a homeless guy, was who had been well-educated but had fallen on hard times, was playing the role of taking the money and giving the whatever. So he was involved in it, but he didn't know how. And then they eventually harvested his organ also. So this is, again, fiction, but it's out there. I think that there is a business in harvesting organs. Yeah.
Well, there was a program on just the other night with Diane Sawyer, and there are like 80,000 people on the waiting list for organs, and 17 die a day. So, and then they talk about getting these organs from third world countries where these people need the money. They give them $1,000. They go to India and the Philippines, and they've got, they show these guys all lined up with the scars on the side. And
yeah, I actually saw a story on 60 Minutes or something like one. That, where the same thing, and they have these people from these little villages in Eastern Europe, actually, in that case, I think, who were doing this sort of thing. Because the amount of money was so much, it could just sort of change their lives for them.
Yeah, and it was an American man
but
here.
And you really think it's like in sort of a hotel? And
that part.
Probably not.
I
thought it was a little bit far-fetched, too.
The other thing I didn't like about the second...
It looked like a really nice hotel, though. It was kind of nice.
Well, kind of like the way the Hotel Overlook is a nice-looking hotel, too. And I got the sense of something like...
I don't know the Hotel Overlook.
Shining.
Oh, thank you.
And there were some moments like that, I mean, that where he's sort of alone, you know, because you're not quite sure where this thriller, where the thriller elements are going. And thank God it didn't turn into sort of a routine, you know, thriller where with a chase and the bad guys, you know, killing his best friend and, you know, and all of that kind of nonsense.
Right.
And which I would not have appreciated, and wouldn't have made this film as good as I think it is. Like I say, the with the sneaky love story, and watching that story, you know, grow. Like I say, I like the his friend, the pathologist, sort of noticing. Look, I'm a bad chess player, and I could tell within 20 minutes that she's in love with you.
Right. That's
so
what
happened.
Good at chess. Bad at life.
there's a little scene somewhere near the start when he's in the apartment and she's trying to use the water in the bathroom and he's doing the dishes. And I mean, I thought perhaps it was a touch heavy-handed, but anyway, you know, the water keeps on going up and she gets angry at him. And she says it's all connected.
Right. That was when you said you thought that was
too
broadly painted.
But that was clearly one of the things that
we talked about. I thought he, as an actor, the main character, whose name I'm sorry I cannot reproduce, I thought he was great and subtle. You know, yes. I mean, he was a wonderful actor, but he wasn't broad.
Mm-hmm.
And he didn't, you know.
He played the part right.
He was kind of internally tortured from the mm-hmm. reasons he was having to run away from home, but. What were we saying? We were saying Jim Carrey on his best day could never have played that part, right?
Thank God.
Well, what do you mean by broad? He wasn't broad?
I mean, he didn't, you know, she says, I've only seen you laugh twice. Oh, three times, or whatever it is, you know. He doesn't emote much.
But it's all subtle. It's tiny little gradations of.
Yeah,
I think
a lot of them.
Yeah.
Well, I think, like I said, that's the wonder of that performance is that it's to see someone go from absolutely stoic and to showing that the emotion he does at the end, where he's at least able to say, "Mal, I love you,"
mm-hmm.
to our heroine, and also then be released so he can have his moment of. Real happiness and joy when he's on the phone calling home.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's, you know, like I say, I'm just happy to see him, you know, rejoin the human race.
Right.
Because yes. I think that's part of the problem, that being this immigrant outsider, you know, outside the law, that, you know, he has to just, you know, completely deny his own humanity. And like I say, it takes circumstance, you know, this the thriller, and, you know, and the love of a good woman to sort of, you know, like I said, have him rejoin the human race, which at the time I sort of reminded me sort of Casablanca.
Mm.
The other films that this film, you know, sort of echoes, you know, Rick saying, you know, it's good to have you back in the fight because it's not really about, you know, lost love. It's about regained idealism,
mm-hmm.
I think. So he sort of, like I say, regains his own humanity.
Mm-hmm. Well, there was opportunity for him to go the route of the guy who was in charge of the organs. I mean, it almost seems like he might have been in the position he was at one time. And it's like, I'm an immigrant in this country, and he decided he's going to break the law to stay in the country.
And live a comfortable life.
And live a comfortable life, and the other guy decided, I'm not going to do it.
Mm-hmm. That's why, it's like I say, I came up with this some sort of a moral thriller. His morality is challenged, and he, you know, has to sort of... resist all these seductive temptations. I mean, you could like do it for the girl. You're in love with the girl. Do it for the girl, or do it for the money, or do it for the security. I mean, the scene early on where the villain calls the police. You want to call the police? Mm-hmm. Let's call the police. Dials the police, but puts him in the situation. Well, you know, the police are probably going to want to ask you your name mm-hmm. and your identity and. You know, so, but here's the phone, go ahead. You know, and like I say, the villain is really good in his sort of villainy. And because it's about, you know, he's just presenting people with choices. Mm-hmm. And it's like, you can choose. I mean, you don't have to give me your organ. He's not like, you know, kidnapping people off the street.
No.
These people want to give them their organs for the money.
But you know? He didn't particularly care.
Lived or died. Sure. It's expedient.
He gave her a choice too, you know, either she was going to put out and get her passport or it was not going to happen.
I thought it was very heavy, too heavy-handed, that one. I mean, I totally believe the factory owner guy, mm-hmm. the sweatshop owner guy.
I didn't like that part. I thought it was just too neat, providing the motivation for her to sell her organ. She's either going to provide sexual favors or sell her organ, you know, it just set that up too well. And even the ending where they're going to take this guy's organ and not hers, that was just a little too neat for me. Yeah.
But that reminded me of several other... Yeah, right. It reminded me of several other storylines, like, what's the one? Jacob the Liar. I can't even remember how that goes, except there's a kind of twist at the end. You know,
is that the Robin Williams
one? Yeah, the Robin Williams one in the Warsaw Ghetto or someplace like that. Do you know that one?
No.
No, it got terrible reviews, but it had a story that allowed for such a little twist at the end. And there are a number of other ones where the tables get turned. You know, the thing you think you're plotting toward doesn't happen. They somehow turn it around and our heroes win.
I didn't see it coming.
You didn't see it coming? No.
I knew when the doctor said, oh, now that you're here, we can start. I thought, oh, this is what's going to happen.
Oh,
yeah,
good.
Yeah, so
yeah.
The only thing is that I almost wish that he had awakened and we could see his reaction to see what had happened to him. I just wanted that.
Well, but the other thing about that, I was confused and I hadn't expected it, except that I knew there was something wrong. Here he comes in, he's wearing his regular coat, the whole room is completely antiseptic, mm-hmm. you know. Oh, this is how it's really done. And then our hero, the doctor, hands him just the beer and says, you know, your hands shake if you don't drink. Oh, that makes sense. Except, why aren't you making him, you know, you've got to get him the glove too. You've got to...
Except the thing with the beer didn't make sense to me. But
no?
No.
Why?
Because if he's going to assist... shouldn't be drinking beer.
No, but he was an alcoholic, and so his hand shook if he didn't have a drink.
Did we see that earlier on in the movie, or was that...
We didn't see the shaking of the hands, but we saw him drinking a lot.
Was that just to service the plot?
He was drinking all the time.
We saw him drinking all the time, but we didn't see...
When he walked into the office
in the morning,
he opens up a little thing of liquor and drowns it.
Downs it all.
A mini bar, you know, bottle.
Oh, yeah, I remember that, yeah.
So he's not going to turn down alcohol.
Right.
He knows what buttons to push, our hero.
A little too neat for me.
I don't know. I think
I thought that was great.
Mm-hmm. I mean,
it would be less neat if they just sort of had a character who didn't drink alcohol and get offered alcohol and say, okay.
What if he actually did perform the operation, you know, and go through with it? I mean, that's where I was going. That's the real heavy thing, you know. And then it turns into this real kind of lighthearted, you're kind of laughing. Oh, now they're taking the villains
heart, you know, it turned out to be...
Only kidney.
Yeah, whatever.
Our hero doesn't have to kill the villain.
He didn't have a heart to take.
I mean, he could... He was used to cutting up dead people. He might have killed that. We don't know.
The collector did open the box and look. So he knew that there was an organ in there, and he would have recognized if it was a heart and not a kidney.
This guy still could have been dead.
Oh, for sure.
That don't even mean on purpose. Just from being inept or whatever.
Right. Error.
Weren't you curious as to who was doing these operations?
Yeah, I was. Yes.
Yes, that was...
Where do you get people to see?
And another thing was, like, when the hooker came down at first, and then she said, you might want to go up to room so-and-so.
And clean up.
And you almost think that's the room she just left. And she left her John there or something like that. But it was the organ in the toilet. And how would she know about that?
She knew there was a toilet that had overflowed. And I think that's sort of why he finds the heart.
So do you think the prostitute knew all this was going on in the hotel?
No, I don't think so. I think she just had a regular job there.
But I do think the question of who was doing all these operations is, like, you know, huge.
Yeah.
You know, that, like, that, you know, because that's why I was asking, well, you know, you hear about this kidney or rings, and, you know, I think when I've heard them, unless they're, you know...
Totally apocryphal.
That it's, you know, some horrible doctor, and it's in a hospital, and it is sterile conditions, and, it, you know, the doctor doesn't kill people, he just, you know, is doing disgusting things, you know, he's just... totally unethical. I'm not saying even that's true. I don't know. Mm-hmm. I don't know. But I wonder about this. Who, you know, where do you get that?
You don't believe
really
the bathtub full of ice?
Well, they could have easily thrown in another immigrant who is a doctor, who did succumb to the...
Yeah, but that's pretty unlikely for a guy who's a doctor not to have, a, you know, real papers. Okay, this guy was wanted for murder in Nigeria. Nigeria is known for having all sorts of...
Well, a lot of immigrant doctors aren't allowed to practice in other countries.
Yeah, you probably wouldn't have been able to practice in England.
That's right.
Yeah.
But if you have real papers,
yeah, but you might still have to re-qualify or whatever.
If you have real papers from Russia,
I know a lot of doctors from Russia and other countries that can't practice in the United States.
Yeah.
Right.
A lot.
And they're, you know, and they're driving cabs or doing whatever, you know.
Right.
But anyway, the bottom line is still that he couldn't give his name and enough information to establish that he could work as a doctor.
Right.
I'm just saying it must be pretty unusual.
I was going to say he's a fugitive, like Dr. Richard Kimball.
No, but I think that that's not so unusual. I think that there are many cases, and William knows somebody or a couple people, and I know somebody else who is, in fact, a doctor who can't work as a doctor here. Russians or Indians or whatever.
Here legally, but they can't practice. So
yes, in this case, the people I know are here legally, but they can't. It's going to take them a lot of money and a lot of time to qualify to continue to practice medicine.
But here legally and educated, you can get work and you don't have to, you know.
Additional pressures.
They're not stealing organs.
Probably not.
I would think it'd be pretty hard to use a hospital facility to do something like that. Because there's too many checklists to go through.
Well, it's illegal to sell them, too.
No, but she's kind of asking if this goes on and, like, to use a hospital to try to do something like this. To do it illegally, it would be almost impossible.
Or you go to a hospital in another country where things are pretty lax, and that would be some third world country or something.
Yeah.
So this was a departure for Audrey, right? From the previous one?
She did that. Did you see He Loves Me, He Loves Me Now?
No, I didn't.
That was a real departure for Amelie, too.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah,
complete turnaround. It's coming out on video in a couple of weeks. Check it out. It's really good.
Okay.
I read an article with her, and she's really interesting. And she talked about French film compared to American film. And she says, when you make a film over there, they're not worried about box office whatsoever. Mm-hmm. They give you freedom to make the film you want to make, and that's all they worry about. They don't worry about how much money it's going to make.
Mm-hmm.
They don't really have television money.
Yeah, it's government subsidized, the film industry is, yeah, mm-hmm. unlike here.
But I mean, they wouldn't be making films if they didn't have this money for television, and so it's paying back their costs. They don't, well,
You mean license for television?
Yeah.
Because two American films that go over to France, I guess they have contracts with Hollywood that a certain amount of the money goes into the French film industry.
Yeah, or otherwise they won't.
Otherwise they won't let their films into their country.
Yeah, I think that's right. Is that
they battled Hollywood for a long time.
Sounds like the kind of thing. Yeah.
Well, I remember reading something about this. That I guess after World War II there was this period in which the United States actually enforced something on the French film industry, where they had to purchase a certain percentage of films from the United States for showing in France.
Really?
So yes. There's this whole thing that...
Mm-hmm. In order to show French films here?
No, just...
To reconstruct the country.
Of some kind of agreement. I can't remember what it was. We essentially just imposed this rule on them that they had to, for some period of time. I can't
A lot of the French people pretty much ran the Hollywood industry. Were some of the first people to start making the American films because the French knew how to make film better than the Americans did at first, and still do some ways.
That's right. This was an article in the New Yorker, I'm thinking, in the last few months in the New Yorker.
Send out the URL.
The who?
I don't know if there is
the web address of the article.
I don't know if there is one, but.
The woman behind us in the theater, little old lady, we thought she was going to be a talker, but she was all right during the film. But there, once in a while, she would like, oh, or she'd just make this exclamation or something. And there at the end, where they put the man on the operating table, she goes, ooh, I like the way this movie ends.
that's why I didn't like it, because it was aimed right at that audience, the one that wants the happy ending, that kind of like, you know, everything turns out
wonderful.
You know, the villain gets punished, the girl and the guy get away, except that they don't get together.
See, I'm the opposite. I don't like those films where they don't pay for their crimes. That makes me really upset.
Yeah, but think about it. William was saying it was a moral thriller, but really, you know, two wrongs will make a right. And no matter how horrible this guy was, you don't really think it's right to take out his kidney, you know.
They needed a kidney to save that little girl's life. So they needed.
Well, they needed a kidney so that they could get the 3,000 and
10,000,
whatever, and Ron would get away with their passport.
Right, but you know.
But do you think after he had his kidney taken out that he would continue to engage in that business? It would give him second thoughts.
Now he still has a
part
kidney.
Two, Dirty Things 2.
Don't you think he would have given them the passports after the operation had been completed?
They hand them the stuff.
There was a portion of trust between them, though. There was a certain degree of trust, I think.
There was
a certain amount, because they knew each other, worked together with each other, and...
Oh, yeah, and the hotel manager was so trusting.
No, but in every transaction, somebody has to do the thing first. You know, even if you're just buying a shirt. Somebody has to hand over the shirt, or somebody has to hand over the money.
Or the kidney.
Right. Or he could say, I'm not going to cut until I see my passport.
Yeah, that's true.
Fair enough.
The scene in the garage with when they're given the
collector, kidney.
I didn't like the fact that the hooker was there, because I thought, oh, now she's going to get in trouble for her being part of the whole thing, where she could have got, you know, eventually the hotel manager is going to find out that she was there. Something's going to happen to her, but when she put her finger up like that, that gave me the reason that why she was there. I mean, that was
you don't know us because we're invisible. We don't see us. We're the ones who drive your cabs, clean your houses.
Yeah.
Well, I also thought there was an interesting, I wouldn't say exactly a metaphor or anything, but a lot of people, the movie starts with someone dropping their pants, and you kind of wonder what the situation is.
I'm trying to remember this. Wait a second.
The taxi cab dispatcher says, I want you to look at my thing.
Oh, yeah. Right. I thought it started in the airport. I was listening to that, because it really starts in the airport, and that you hear the airport sounds, and you realize this is the airport, and the titles are still coming up.
Anyway, no, you're right. I mean, that's not the very first scene, because, of course, I guess you introduce our hero as the taxi cab driver, and he says, you know, I'm here to,
sent to collect you, but I'm
here to help people who the system has been let down by. So that's sort of his theme.
Right,
That's his job, because I'm going to help people who...
And quite a literate answer, so you understand a lot about him right there.
Mm-hmm. But that was an interesting scene where the dispatcher dropped his pants and the guy's just staring at him. What's going on here? What's this about?
Well, you know, there's that subtext that maybe he's going to have to service him or something... to keep his job or to keep his... I mean, obviously
it kind of set up the later situation where she did have to service her boss. You know, it kind of got you into the frame of mind where you could accept that. You could accept... It kind of set you up to go into an even deeper point, you know.
And
it was funny. You know, so I think that did serve a point.
It showed his connection with his friend who worked in the hospital.
Yeah, to get his job.
That
The other good laugh in the film, too, was not just when the dispatcher dropped his pants, but when he had three other friends lined up to get checked out, too.
Well, she must be very popular.
I'm going to help
you. I'm going to, Do you have a knife?
Nice.
I'm just thinking, then, you know, have half of one, half of another.
Cut the chocolate.
Did everybody see swimming pool?
I saw swimming pool. Eric didn't see swimming pool.
I did not see swimming pool.
Did you see swimming pool? Yes.